no better scripture than the one that we've been given to close out 10 days of prayer could have been given. No better scripture. No better study than the study of this scripture and where it's located could have been given. No more powerful scripture in all of scripture than when we've been given could have been given. Are you there before me? Are you already there? John 17? Are you already there? John 17:3. I typically number my sermons, but this one's been given to me a deeper experience. Is your faith wobbly? Or is it rock solid? Is your faith wobbly? No? John 17:3. In between the upper room and Gethsemane, John 17:3. In between the upper room where everyone was squabbling about who was going to be the greatest and wondering who the traitor was, and in between Gethsemane. Remember Gethsemane? In between the upper room and Gethsemane is John 14, 15, 16, and 17. In between. Think about what I'm saying. In between the upper room and in between Gethsemane is John 14, 15, 16, and 17. This is perhaps the greatest, most impressive teachings that Jesus has ever given. And I heard a really weak amen, but that doesn't mean anything. That means you're going to go home and study this. Why is it so powerful? Why is it so impactful? Why does it cut me to the core when I preach anything out of John 14, 15, 16, 17? Why? Why is it so important? I can only give you one verse today because that's all I was given. But I'm going to bend the rules. I'm going to give you more. Not much more, but enough, hopefully, to whet your appetite. You say, I'm fearful. Okay, Jesus can cure that. You say, I'm timid. Okay, Jesus can cure that. You say, I'm sure of my faith. Oh, really? Jesus can cure that. You say, I don't know where I stand with God. Really? Jesus has a remedy for that. Martin Luther kicked it off. Martin Luther kicked it off in the 1600s, and here we are in 2018. The just shall live by faith. No longer do you answer to anyone but Jesus himself. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Think about it. Okay. In between the upper room and Gethsemane, in between are these chapters. Read them. All of heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. Hell is afraid of it. While men are the only ones to ignore its meaning. Oswald Chambers. How many of you have read Oswald Chambers? Yeah, a student of the Reformation is Oswald Chambers. A student of the Reformation. A student of righteousness by faith. because it's the only thing that's getting you into heaven. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Learn to know Christ and Him crucified. Learn to sing Him and say, Lord Jesus, You are my righteousness. I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You have become what you were not so that I might become what I was not. Amen. That's Martin Luther. Yes. You want to know why the Reformation was so powerful? Now you know. People living in darkness saw another great light. And out of the dark ages they come, recognizing that Jesus became sin for me. Love was compressed for all history in that lonely figure on the cross, who said that he could call down angels at any moment on a rescue mission, but chose not to. Why? Because of us. At Calvary, God accepted his own unbreakable terms of justice. I have tried to say this in so many ways, and Philip Yancey pulls it off in one sentence. I have tried to say this in 10 sermons, and Yancey does it in one sentence. At Calvary, God accepted his own unbreakable terms of justice. When there was no sin, the universe was perfect. God said between himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will die for our creation. And at Calvary, he accepted his own terms of unbreakable justice. If that doesn't excite your heart as to what God's word means and the power of it, nothing's going to. Jesus has borne the death penalty on our behalf. Behold the wonder. There he hangs upon the cross. This is the greatest sight you will ever see. Son of God and Son of Man, there he hangs, bearing pains unutterable. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. The glory, oh, the glory of that sight. That was the greatest preacher England has ever known and possibly will ever known, Charles Spurgeon. Christ has shown that his love was stronger than death. He was accomplishing man's salvation. And although he had the most fearful conflict with the powers of darkness, yet amid it all, his love grew stronger and stronger. Jesus endured the hiding of his Father's countenance until he was led to exclaim in the bitterness of his own soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? His arm, the arm of Jesus, brought salvation. The price was paid to purchase the redemption of man. And when in the last soul struggle, the blessed words were uttered, which seemed to resound throughout all of creation, it is finished. Many who profess to be Christians become excited over worldly amusements and enterprises. And their interest is awakened for new and exciting amusements, while they are cold-hearted and appear as if frozen in the cause of God. Here is a theme, poor formalist. You know what a formalist is? A person that appears cold-hearted and frozen. That's who a formalist is. Here is a theme for you, poor formalist. This theme is of sufficient importance to excite you because eternal interests are here involved. Upon this theme, it is a sin to remain calm and unimpassioned. Upon this theme, the scenes of Calvary call for the deepest emotion. Upon this subject, you will be excused if you manifest enthusiasm. Amen. That's Ellen White. Amen. Second Testimonies 2:12. Piggybacking on Martin Luther. Righteousness by faith. Upon this theme, poor formalist, upon this theme, it's a sin not to be impassioned. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ saving your soul, my soul. Upon this theme, it's a sin to remain calm and unimpassioned. Amen. Forgive me if I was too impassioned. Because even White, Ellen White says, I'll be forgiven. I get too excited. Do you see the connection? Do you see the connection for Seventh-day Adventists? All of history is on your side. Everything ever written that is truth about who Jesus is, from the Garden of Eden to the last verse in Revelation, it's all taken into consideration as to what the gospel is. We teach the entire gospel, not a section of it. Are you with me? All of it. Our scripture for the day, John 17:3, is powerful. It's very powerful. And I found a few other verses that go right alongside with it. I hope the power touches you. I hope the power makes you think. I hope the power of these verses makes you go home and say, okay, I think I'm getting it. I'm just now getting it. I'm hoping you are too. I'm hoping somebody's getting it. I want you to notice the present tense of the language. Are you with me? And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. It doesn't say, and this is gonna be life eternal. It doesn't say that. This is Jesus' own words in John 17:3. You can take my interpretation, or you go home and read it yourself and get your own interpretation, but what I believe is it says, this is. That means right now. That means today. That means this moment. That's what I think it believes. You can think whatever you want, but that's what I'm thinking. And I've got 6 more verses that say exactly the same thing, because I didn't get it in John 17:3, so I need to read something else, don't I? And it's interesting how John's the one that's doing the writing, the disciple that Jesus loves. Interesting, isn't it? John 6:54, whoso, and there's always a qualifier. You get something in the mail, lots of money's coming your way, but there's always a qualifier. You've won, but there's always a qualifier. And I'm here to tell you, eternal life, there's a qualifier. You have to pay attention to it. It's not in the fine print either. It's right out there in the open. In John 17:3, it's that you know who. God the Father and Jesus Christ whom He's sent. You have to know Him. And, well, is there any other? There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Jesus and there's only one the Father. And they're all what? One. can't separate them. John 6:54, here's the qualifier. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I have to think about that one. It sounds gory, but there's more to it, isn't it? And you all know there's more to it. I'm not going to elaborate. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Has, present tense, eternal life. And the verse goes on to say, and at the last day, guess what I'm going to do? At the last day, I'm going to, you might be in the grave. You might be one of those that are alive right before Jesus returns. I don't care what your situation, Jesus says he's going to what? I'm going to raise you up. Here's a good one, John 10:28. Do you know the Father? Do you know the Son? Are you eating his flesh and drinking his blood? If that's the case, John 28 is just for you. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You want more of a promise than that? I can't help you. Well, maybe I can. Here's another verse. Romans 6:23. Now here's Paul, spent 3 years with Jesus in Arabia, got a tune-up, let's put it that way. Pharisee all his life, brilliant man, had to spend 3 years with Jesus, realigning his brain, right? Guy's a murderer, right? A hater of the new sect of the Nazarenes, Jesus and his church. Didn't like them at all. Jesus realigned his brain. Realigned his brain in Arabia. How'd you like to spend 3 years with Jesus to get your brain aligned? You can start right now. Read his word. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know what that means now. It means knowing him. It means eating his flesh and drinking his blood. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of what? Faith. That's what eating his flesh, drinking his blood, and getting to know him means. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold when? Right now. Lay hold on eternal life right now. We're going to end with John, 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record. If you could put it all down in a book, for someone to understand, this is what John is trying to say. And this is the record that God has given to us, what?
Eternal
life. And this life is in his Son. Nobody can take it away from you. No one. And it has to do with being in Christ. If I bought a cardboard box up here and put it right here, and I stepped into the box, it's a crude example of what God is saying. Be in Christ. Every day, every moment of your life. And when that is your determination, then the Bible says eternal life is yours right now. Amen. Are you determined to be in Jesus?
Yes.
If you're determined to be in Jesus, then he says through his word, eternal life is yours right now. And no one can take it away from you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, or is come, and has given us an understanding. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
That we may know him that is true, and we are in him, that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and... Wow, it's repeated so often that while I'm reading the Bible, if I miss this for any reason, and I mean any reason, my upbringing, my thought processes, influences beyond which I can control. If I miss this for any reason, my friends, on this subject, Jesus and him crucified, and who he is, on this subject, you will be excused if you manifest enthusiasm.
Now it's on. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God trusts us to be his stewards. And we should be so thankful that he's such a loving God. We have such a beautiful building. And I want to tell you guys, you're probably a little bit anxious to know what we've come up with in our 2 weeks. I'm just going to give you the total. And this is a matching for our donator of $20,000, and we're matching. And we came up with $36,195. That is our total, and then they're matching $20,000. $56,000, yes. Thank you.
So I need three people that would pray. Sharnette, you volunteered, excellent. Doug, you volunteered, excellent. And let's congregate over here by Jim, and he will pray. And then we'll finish up our service. Come on, Doug, come on over here. Just Doug. We're going to have a group hug prayer. And we'll have Doug first, Sharnette, and then Pastor Ball. Will everyone kneel with us wherever possible?
Father in heaven, we started this project with Jim Ball. We sold a piece of property that we weren't using, and we decided to build this building. And you have inspired all of us to do what we could. And it is done. And we praise you and bless your name for inspiring us all to do what we could. And now the debt is gone. Praise you, Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can have a deeper experience with you, Lord. And we pray that just as how you have blessed us financially, that we'll also be blessed spiritually, because that's the greatest blessing that we can ever have, Amen. A deeper experience with you. Amen. And we pray for each member of our congregation that we will not only give financially, but we'll give our hearts totally to you. And we praise you from whom all blessings flow.
Heavenly Father, what we really need to be thankful for this moment are for all the miracles you provided to make this possible. Amen. Very few of us, and just rarely some of us, know how we were given land and had it examined and checked and given to us. And I want to thank the place next door, Good Sam, for they helped provide this miracle. And I can't ever forget how you led. I just Every time I walk in here, I just can't believe it's a miracle. If we all knew the miracles. In fact, the last thing that was found in the old church was a peen hammer. And it was found in the stove over there, what do you call it? And it was found by Wesley. So many people, by faith, reached out to you. And how can we ever understand all that? Only that Jesus loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Will you please stand with me for the closing hymn? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures able. Praise Him of heal ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the service, for the faithful people in this church who have given and given and given. We know you've inspired each one, and we look forward to more inspiration that Jesus might be glorified. For we ask it in His name. Amen. Amen.